One of the biggest upsets in hockey, definitely one of the biggest upsets in favor of Team USA in their history happened, of course, at Lake Placid at the Olympics in 1980 when a bunch of upstart young American hockey players won the gold medal. Wasn't it they just beat Russia? They beat back then it was Czechoslovakia, who was a favorite to be a silver medalist. They beat them in their second game. They beat Sweden. Like, they earned that victory without question. And we are joined now by a member, a gold medalist, who was drafted by the New York Rangers. And right after winning the Olympics, went to play for the Rangers and then played for the Rangers, Bruins, Red Wings, and the Winnipeg Jets in his career before finishing it in Europe. Dave Silk joins us. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. It's a tournament, and it wasn't just one game, but obviously the game against the Russians is the major focal point, of course, Dave. But I kind of want to go back to the whole, you know, group play for your team, because you started out with a 2-2 draw against Sweden. I think you tied it in the last 30 seconds when you pulled Jim Craig for an extra attacker, and it just kind of, you seemed to build momentum. It wasn't just about the Russia game. It was kind of momentum that it built up to that game, no?
Yeah, I think you're right. And first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, we knew that Sweden was real good, and they were one of the dark horses. So we knew that we knew we had to get by them to have any shot at all. And we got one real late, as you said, with under 30 seconds left to tie it. And then we played the Czechs a day later, and the Czechs just came up flat. I mean, there was no other way to say it. They were loaded. They had the Snazny brothers and a whole bunch of real good international players, but they just came up flat. And so then once we got by those two teams, we were pretty much on a roll. Until we had to play West Germany later on in the tournament.
Dave, when you read books or see the movie about it, a lot was made about the conditioning and in your guys' conditioning that your coaching staff put into it. What was that? Is that accurate? How big of an impact did that have on your guys' success?
Yeah, that was kind of the secret sauce of the whole thing. Was we knew we were in better shape than everyone else, I think if you look back at all of our games, in fact, all year long, we won a ton of games in the third period. So we had a lot of confidence that if we could keep it close going into the third, then conditioning would pay off. We really worked hard at it. I think that Brooks and we had another guy that was responsible for a lot of the dry land training, and back then there wasn't a whole bunch of that, so we were definitely at the forefront of it.
So Dave, you had the group round, and then you move on, and you beat the Russians, which was obviously a massive upset, no question. They were played professionals, had been training together for a long time, had some obviously guys who'd go on to have great careers. Both internationally and in the National Hockey League. But let's start with that game specific. And I've seen the movie. Before I get to the game, I want to ask you, when you watched the movie Miracle, how close to reality was it?
Well, I think they captured a lot of how it happened. I think, unfortunately, and that's Hollywood, they centered on a couple of different guys, and I think it's unfortunate that we had some guys on the team that were hugely integral to the team's success, and if you just saw the movie, you'd never know them. So I think it's too bad that happened. But from a personal perspective, I loved the movie because the guy that played me was a good skater, and so they put him in all of the hockey scenes. So I actually got more ice time in the movie than I did in my classes.
Did he have your silky mitts?
you know what? I, 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 I think he probably did. From what I've heard about him, I heard he did. So I won't go any farther than that. But, you know, the whole thing that's really interesting, and I bring it up because of you know, where you guys are, is that we never would have thought that we had a chance against the Soviets, except for the thing we saw the Canadian team play them the night before we played them, and the Canadians almost beat them. In fact, you could argue that they should have won. And the Canadian, we knew the Canadian team real well, and they knew us. And, you know, we had played each other a handful of times during the year, and we were really similar. And so to see the Canadians really take the play to the Soviets gave us a spark of hope.
Talking with Dave Silk from Miracle Ice, a former NHLer and player on that team that had just a fantastic run. Vladislav Atrechak is widely regarded as one of the greatest goalies of all time, and he must have had quite a bit of a success at that time as well. So leading up to that game with the Russians, you know, did you have a game plan for Atrechak? Because it seemed like whatever it was worked in the first period.
I think our game plan was if we were ever down in that end, say hello. we might as well introduce ourselves, because we expect to have our ears pinned back in our own end the whole night. So
yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one of the things that happened that really worked against them was they pulled Trechak after the first period to try and send a message to their team, and their backup Mishkin was just a lot smaller in stature, and you could actually see some net behind him. And so I think, you know, seeing the Soviets pull who arguably the best goaltender in the world and put in their backup definitely gave us a glimmer of hope.
Dave Silk joined us. How important was Herb Brooks and just his attitude as a coach to the team? Like, the movie made it seem like, you know, he was just had all the right things to say at the right time. And you know, obviously the players have to play the game, but belief is such a huge part of sports. Was Herb integral for that? Or was there other guys that maybe the movie didn't focus on?
You know what, it's a good point. He was really, I think at the time, he and Bob Johnson were the far and away the two most successful American collegiate hockey coaches at the time, and both of them were known for having a real cerebral approach to the game and to motivating players, and I think that Herbie was so far and away in front of other coaches in terms of strategy individual play and positioning and that kind of thing. I really do believe, as much as he was a pain in the neck to play for, he was absolutely the right guy to lead us.
Dave Silk joins us. Now, Dave, I've read articles and sometimes stories, they take on a life of their own. But I think a lot of people forget that when you beat the Russians, that didn't win you the gold medal. You then had to take on Finland, and you had to beat them. And you were trailing 2-1 going into the third period. And did Herb Brooks basically tell you guys, if you lose the game, you'll take it to your bleeping grave? And then left the room and said, "You're bleeping grave again."
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. Exactly what he did. You know, it wasn't back then. It wasn't the days of a lot of positive motivation. You know, he just wanted to scare the bejesus out of us, and he did. He'd do that all the time. You know, he'd come in, and if you were, it's kind of like being at the plate and waiting on the fastball, and all of a sudden the guy comes with a changeup or a slow curve, and you're just, you know, you're way out in front of it, and that's the way Herbie was. You know, if you expected him to come in and pat you on the back because you played well, he'd probably make you go out and skate for an hour, and vice versa. You know, he was always coming with a different perspective. But yeah, that's exactly what he said. He said, "You'll take it to your bleeping grave," and then came in and repeated it just to make sure we got the message.
Was there a moment in the game, other than I guess when you guys won, that the Russians are like, oh my God, we maybe not underestimated, but we weren't quite ready for this type of a battle with the Americans?
You know, I think really just going down at the last 10 minutes, okay. it looked like the Soviets were not panicking, but they were definitely rushed. They weren't, they weren't circling back and playing their possession game. They were dumping it in more, and they actually looked like a little bit like a North American team with the way they were playing. And so there was definitely just their pace wasn't as methodical as it usually was. So I think the last 10 minutes on, you could see that they were starting to get a little nervous, but there wasn't until the final bell rang. You know, we still didn't really feel as though we were going to pull it off.
Dave Silka joins us, a member of the Miracle on Ice gold medal team. But Dave, what about the mindset after you beat the Russians? Because that's obviously the game, and this many years later, everybody still focuses on that one. But you had that Finland game after. Everybody knew the gold medal was still on the line, but was it harder to motivate yourself, or was it actually pretty easy because you still hadn't won the gold medal?
Yeah, no, I think at that point it was, and we knew the West Germans and the Finns were good teams, but we also knew they weren't of the same level as the Soviets and maybe the Swedes and Czechs. So, you know, to us, we thought, oh my God, if we've come this far, Jesus, if we lose it now to the Finns, and you know, it's just, you know, like Herbie said, you know, we're going to have to live with this forever. So I think that having come that far, there was no way we were going to lose it at that point. But you're right about the whole. There's actually in the Trivial Pursuit game, there's a question that says who did the 1980 U.S. team beat for the gold medal, and we were playing it one summer years and years ago, and my daughter answered the Russians. So, not,
did you give it to her? Not, you let her have it?
No, sorry, honey. Yeah. I'm Herb Brooks yeah, now. You're yeah. wrong. You'll yeah. regret that one yeah. For a long time.
I married a Canadian girl, so I can blame it on the dean.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Dave, how was the aftermath afterwards? Like, you look back, and hockey in the United States, you know, it wasn't like baseball or anything at that point, but because the Cold War and everything else, you know, beating the Russians, you know, the United States is very patriotic. There's no doubt about it. Can you talk about just like the weeks and days after you won that gold medal and beat the Russians? How was it? How did it change for you?
It was a little different for me because I turned pro with the Rangers right after, so you know, a week after Lake Placid, I was in Manhattan and getting ready to suit up with them. So I didn't really have that much time to really kick back and I guess enjoy it the way some of the other guys did. But it clearly changed things. You know, I don't think any of us had any idea just how big it had become, and you know, I suppose there could be some parallels drawn to what we're going through down here now and what we were going through back then in terms of, you know, just having a tough time putting one foot in front of the other, and so it happened at such a great time in our country's history, politically and socially and economically, that you know, people made much more of it than just a hockey game.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So, you know, everyone kind of jumped on the bandwagon afterwards. And there was a lot of credit going around to a lot of people. Yeah. But for us guys that were just hockey players, you know, we just thought like, Jesus, you know, glad we only had to play him one time.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I look at it, and I'd imagine as a player, you win that huge game against the Russians. But it was at the moment that it just exploded, because I was like, oh my God, they got a chance to win the gold medal here.
Yep, That was absolutely, it was like everything changed. You know, everything. I mean, I think everybody in their wildest dreams thought, boy, what a Cinderella story this has been, but they're about to get their asses handed to them by the Soviets. Yeah. And then when we were able to pull it off, you know, everyone was just kind of, you got to be kidding me. And that's when it all changed.
Well, Dave, I'm sure it's one of the wonderful memories for you. And then you went on, you know, you had a stellar career in the NHL. How was it, like, how was it received maybe going into the NHL room? Was it easier? They're like, oh, there's Dave Silk. He just won an Olympic gold medal. Like, was it easier to step in that room as a rookie maybe than it would have been other times?
I don't know. You know, I think about that sometimes. I mean, the teams that I went into New York and those guys could not have been any nicer and gracious and humble and you know, I mean, they treated me better than I deserved to be treated, and I kind of wondered, because we had had such a bitter rivalry with the Canadian team, and you know, we just didn't know if there was still going to be kind of an anti-US or anti-American sentiment. And it was just the opposite. It was just the opposite. I mean, guys went out of their way to make me feel comfortable, and it didn't matter if you were, you know, Swedish, Canadian, American, or what have you. Guys just went out of their way to make you feel comfortable. And really, my lasting memory of that was I learned in a hurry what it really means to be a pro. And because those guys in that Rangers locker room were really pros.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us and talking about one of the greatest upsets we've ever seen in the sporting world. Really appreciate your time.
Well, my pleasure, guys. Anytime.